Hello, welcome to a telephone talk from Jean James at Pip and Jim's. This is talk number 100 and it's probably the last one. I thought for this last telephone talk I would give an overview of some of the topics we've covered over the last 2.5 years. The very first one was about roots. I was doing some gardening with Peter when I was aware of the roots of bushes and roses and the roots of the weeds as we pulled them up. Naturally, I thought about verses which talk about putting our roots deep down into Christ. We felt very disconnected from each other and our church families during COVID, yet the roots of God's love helped us stay connected at a very difficult time. The next talk was about shields. Shielding has entered our vocabulary in early 2020, yet is a very biblical idea. As early as Genesis 15:1 we read, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield." And Proverbs 2:6, "He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless." A very sad verse in 2 Samuel 1:21 talked about the shield of the mighty being defiled, the shield of Saul no longer rubbed with oil. Those words are sung by David after Saul's death. His shield would no longer be rubbed with oil to keep it supple, so it would dry, crack, go rusty. A sad symbol of a king who turned away from God. Our shield is our faith, and Isaiah 21 tells us, "Get up, fellow Christians, oil your shields." In other words, be fully alert and active in our faith to protect ourselves from attack. Another thing we missed during those early lockdowns was touch. We missed hugs from friend and family, cuddling our grandchildren, the warm grip of a friend, the arms round our shoulders, and the laying on of hands in prayer and healing. The story of the lady bleeding for 12 years resonates with us as she said to herself, "If I can just touch him." Jesus knew the importance of touch and knows when we are reaching out to him in faith. Then there was one about knotty problems sparked by seeing the higgledy-piggledy wires around my computer. I made the connection in my mind how sometimes we get tangled up in knotty situations and feel disconnected from God. One of my favourite talks was on perfume in the Bible. Peter was a chemistry teacher, and one evening we went to a talk in Canterbury from someone from the Chemistry Society. It was all about perfume and how it's made. It was a fascinating talk, and so I was led to do my own talk on perfume, covering the familiar myrrh from the stories of Jesus' birth, which was used as a painkiller, the alabaster jar of precious ointment which Mary poured on his head, and the sacred anointing oil used in the sanctuary. There's a lovely verse that says, "Thanks be to God who through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Then there was the time I mentioned knitting. Years ago I gave a talk at Breakaway about something I was knitting for a new expected granddaughter and got told off afterwards by a lady because I hadn't got the instructions in a plastic folder. That baby is 14 now. The point I made was that our Heavenly Father knits us together and all the events of our lives, the decreasing, the increasing, the shaping, and finally the casting off, will all be done with his deepest love. The talk was based on some of the thoughts in Psalm 139. Oh, and what about the time I spoke on being on a roller coaster? What a ride that was at Euro Disney some years ago. The ups and downs, the calm moment, and the shrieking, heart-wrenching dizziness the next. We learnt that it was good to go through such experiences together, and saw the wonderful promise that God gave to Joshua, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Of course, anyone who knows me will know I am involved with several prayer groups, so prayer was obviously going to be one of the topics I shared on the telephone, as well as Bible study. I was particularly taken some years ago with a study on wells and water. I got a lot out of this study, so shared it in several places. It was based on Genesis 26. I discovered that each of us may have wells in our lives that have become blocked, perhaps by an enemy, or through lack of use, or contaminated by sin. The lovely thing about this story is that Isaac reaffirmed the names of the wells he found, claiming back his rightful inheritance. Isaac then discovered 4 new wells of fresh water, giving them different names. I then spoke about naming new wells in our lives, such as a new prayer life, new victory over sin, or a new ministry. Following on from wells and water was a talk on footsteps, based on our visit to the Isle of Wight and to Osborne House, the home of Queen Victoria. realizing as we walked around the house and grounds that we were walking in the footsteps of royalty. Whose steps were we walking in today? The world's or Jesus? Then there have been two talks over the 2 years of COVID on harvests, Christmas and Easter. Talk number 20 was about friendship. This was based on a visit in 2017 to a friend in America who I knew from living near her in New England 47 years ago. Jesus said in John 15 the night before he died, "I have called you friends." And there's that lovely hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus." The next one was on mountains. I love seeing mountains. My favourite holiday trips have been to the Canadian Rockies, so it was a delight to know I could weave a talk in and around the many mountains of the Bible. They each have a significance in Scripture, and various events took place on them which we can learn from. God often used these mountains to speak to his people, to reveal his presence and to bring comfort and blessing. One Christmas I spoke about Mary, speaking things, as it were, from her point of view. And later I shared about how the wise men sought Jesus and how we can be like them too. Oh, and very appropriate this year was the talk I gave on the Queen. Do you remember that lovely book that came out to celebrate her 90th birthday, The Servant Queen and the King She Serves? One day we know our gracious Queen will pass away, but King Jesus lives forever as our eternal King. It was appropriate then, afterwards, to do a talk on Jesus as the servant. Then I did a series of three talks on the temple. Again, the temple has much to teach us. We noted the temple had solid foundations. We saw the beauty of the temple itself and the importance of holy living and regular confession. Many folk of our age are aware of our feet, with aching bones, corns or bunions, and how lovely it is to soak our feet in a bowl of hot soapy water. This led on to a study of the baby feet of Jesus. Isaiah 59:7 tells us how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. The many different names of God was something I shared earlier on based on Psalm 23, reminding us he is our shepherd, provider, peace, healer, righteousness, and the Lord who is always with us. The topic of creation was something I shared on two talks, particularly helpful, I feel, as we consider climate change. Another verse which has powerfully impacted my prayer life and that of others was from the book of Esther. It tells the story of this Jewish girl made queen who was told by her uncle that the king's advisor, Haman, tricked the king into saying all the Jews should be killed. Verse 9 says, "On this day the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but now the tables were turned." Many of us began to use this in our prayer times together and on our own. Another version says, "The reversal occurred." We discovered it was a great faith builder, because however difficult or impossible a situation, God can bring about a reversal. I wonder if you noticed that by that time I enjoyed preparing talks from the Old Testament. So Aaron's robes were a subject I looked at, highlighting the relevance of each part of the garments, which can mean something different to us today. They are a beautiful, detailed picture of our covering in Christ, and reminds us that being filled with the Holy Spirit leads to fruitfulness and inspires us to bring our worship to God. 1 Peter 2 verse 4 and 5 says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." Another time I enjoyed looking at the many promises of God in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 1:18 says, "No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." And we discovered the secret of a balanced life was being in Christ. One talk I gave was based on the bizarre instruction about a landmark in a book by the famous Lake District walker Alfred Wainwright. It said, "Turn left at the third hawthorn tree." Well, that tree probably wasn't even there 60-odd years later, but it led to a talk on our spiritual journeys, noticing different landmarks on the way, such as the Bible, or a person who has supported us, or a favourite book, or a place where you had a real encounter with God. Then I did something slightly different by doing a meditation, walking through a garden, noticing the beauty of creation, the call to meet with Jesus in a quiet place and to get some rest. Now this will make you laugh if you remember this story. Years ago in our house in France, Peter had lit a bonfire, and in the night I woke up to see flames down the path by lots of trees, so Peter rushed down with a bucket of water to put it out. We settled back, and suddenly I heard a scrabbling noise, and there in the corner of the bedroom was a toad. The toad, of course, was in an unexpected place, and the New Testament talks about Jesus visiting the unexpected place in Tyre, in Phoenicia, which is modern-day Lebanon. The unexpected place of two Gentile ports. The bonfire was at an unexpected time, and a man with a speech impediment there had an unexpected personal encounter with Jesus. Away from prying eyes, just the two of them. The timing was perfect. Jesus still does unexpected things, if only we have eyes to see. So the toad reminds us that Jesus will come to us in unexpected places. The bonfire reminds us he can also come at unexpected times. And lastly, we see Jesus doing the most unexpected things. Another talk linked to our times in Brittany was concerning a beautiful lake we used to visit, where people enjoyed water sports and children paddled at the beachside. Imagine our surprise in May 2015, when instead of the blue waters of the lake, we saw brown, bare, muddy hills. There was no water to be seen. It was all gone, totally empty. I felt truly inspired as we walked down into the steep valley that the artificial lake had hidden, noticing the growth of tiny plants which had lain dormant for many years under the water. And I related this one Easter to the empty tomb, and how we can be surprised at the tiny shoots of new growth just waiting for God to shine his light on. One of the things the Lord showed me many years ago after my first husband died was the power of the little word in. So I looked at the scriptures relating to us being in Adam one week, and then the following week looked at the change when we become Christians to being in Christ. Following on from that, I did a talk on Adam and Eve who attempted to go their own way. Later, I did a second meditation when we looked at walking through a desert. I love the verse in Hosea chapter 2 that says, "Therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her." During our walk, we discovered such desert experiences were not to be feared, but can be special times when God calls us out of the busyness of our lives to receive his spiritual refreshing. The streams in the desert, the refreshing water in deep wells, and we saw Jesus in our mind's eye holding out the water of life to each one of us. Just before Christmas last year, we had four Advent talks. And then this new year, we've looked at new beginnings, recharging our spiritual batteries, reading the Bible, and Psalm 51. What an amazing richness and variety there is in the scriptures. So I've really enjoyed giving these 100 telephone talks, and I pray some of them will last long in your memories and be a blessing. Thank you for listening all these weeks. Bless you. Bye.